Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 4th, 2025, and we are reading from the Big Book, Working with Others, page 101, the third paragraph starting with, "So our rule is not to avoid a place," through to the end of that paragraph, "like tempting providence, but it isn't." Here's our lineup for Wednesdays in June. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will read the text, Leslie M., A Vision for You, and Julie E.B. is our backup. Alex K. is our newcomer greeter, and Robin P. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, June 3rd, 10 a.m. Eastern, was 22,489. And for Wednesday, June 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern meeting is 22,495. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Julie E.B. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Julie. Julie, star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in compulsive over and under eater. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood God, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, humbly ask God to remove all our shortcomings, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except to do so would injure them or others, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Julie, for stepping in this morning. And now we're going to go over to Connecticut, and Kathleen C. is going to kindly read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you so much.
Good morning. This is Kathleen C. from Connecticut. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are our trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, so today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 101, which is in the chapter Working with Others. Get your eyes down to the third paragraph. So our rule is not to avoid a place ending with, like, tempting providence, but it isn't. And I will now ask the lovely Shelley to start reading and then share her thoughts on this paragraph with us. Thank you, Shelley.
Thanks, Susan. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 101. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. That includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, even plain ordinary whoopee parties. To a person who has had experience with an alcoholic, this may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. Thank you for letting me share today. When I was reading this this morning, because I was at the earlier meeting, I was thinking about, I don't avoid any place. I was trying to think of a place that I wouldn't have a legitimate reason to go to. The only place I could think of was if I was to say, I wonder how they make those donuts at that place. I'm going to go watch them go through the conveyor belt, you know, just because I'm going on looking and trying to figure out type of a mission. Well, that's something I would never do. But I am able to and do participate in life. I go to everything that my family's going to. I don't avoid any place. I'm trying to think of any place I avoid, but it would be, like I said, you know, going someplace from some, you know, thing that I might have gone to back in the day. But I'm not going to order any donuts, but I am going to go see how they make them. Yeah, BS. I would be, you know, face down in the food. And that being said, I am married to a man who is an Ori. You know, he can do whatever, he can have whatever he wants. And my kitchen counter, if you saw it right now, it's full of food that is not my food. And it doesn't even tempt me. And I'm grateful for that. It occurred to me this morning, oh, I forgot, when I ordered Costco yesterday, I ordered some things that he really likes that are in the freezer, and I completely forgot they were even in there. Well, who the heck is that? You know, 7 years ago, that never would have happened. It would have been calling to me in the night. So I'm so grateful for this program that I am in the position that I'm in. And I'm also so grateful that I can go to anything. I know that I can make a call if I need to. I know that I can pray. I can ask God for help if I need to. But also I can be of service when I'm at some place. You know, I can help pick up dishes. You know, literally, I can cut the cake. It doesn't bother me. It's not my food. And I'm not willing to go back to that. I'm not willing to go back to that crazy. So anyways, I'm going to go because I'm on my way to take care of my grandson, but I really appreciate you guys letting me share, and I hope everybody has a wonderful day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley. That was wonderful. All right. So though we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you came in while Shelley was sharing, we're on page 101. The third full paragraph, so our rule is not to avoid a place through to like tempting providence, but it isn't. So if today is your third day, can you please give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country you are calling from this morning? Thank you. I am ready.
Dana,
KD in Missouri.
This is Elaine.
Okay, this is Karen. Hold on 1 second. Karen in Missouri.
Julie E.B. Elaine G. from
Julie,
New York.
Julie, I've got you. Is that Reggie from New York?
Elaine G. from New York.
Elaine. Okay, Elaine G. from New York. And then who else was talking?
Sylvia F.
from New York.
Oregon.
Somebody F. from Oregon.
Sylvia F. in Oregon.
Sylvia. And then who else from New York?
Barbara from New York.
Barbara, thank you. Just hard when everyone speaks over each other. Okay, anybody else want to join this first group?
Gayla.
California. Gayla in California, I think I heard. And then somebody else was speaking with Gayla.
Sherry H.M., Washington.
Thank you, Sherry.
Michelle C. in California.
Right. Thank you, Michelle. All right, this is who I have, and if I'm pronouncing your name wrong or didn't get your last initial or where you're from, please announce it when you are sharing. I've got Karen in Missouri, Julie E.B., who I believe is in Colorado, Elaine G. in New York, Sylvia F. in Oregon, a Barbara in New York, a Gayla in California, Sherry H.M. in Washington, and Michelle C. in California. So if everyone other than Karen in Missouri could mute their lines. Karen, over to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. This is Karen KZ in Missouri. What stood out for me today is do not think of what you will get, but of what you can bring to it. There it is. That's the reason for my suffering, because I'm thinking too much about me. What can I get? And that is a sure setup for a binge, if not in the food, in my thinking and in my separation from other people. Expecting other people to make me happy or to be interested in me or do something for me is a big trap that I keep working with all the time. And even if people do pay attention to me, they never do it quite right. I'm looking for my happiness and okayness and well-being in other people's thoughts, words, and actions. And I'm really getting that that being happier, I realize that when I invite God to take over my thoughts, words, and actions, my thoughts, words, and actions are always loving and kind to others, and that's what fills me up. Not people giving that to me, but me giving love and kindness to others. That is actually my greatest joy and happiness. It certainly doesn't show up like that all the time, but as I continue to invite God to take over, He does take over. And when I do that, I'm filled with joy in giving and living as God created me to do and be. And I'm just so grateful for this program and these principles and all of this that has really taught me that every time I'm looking for something from somebody, I'm always going to be disappointed. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ in Missouri. Next, we have Julie EB. And if I'm right, you're in Colorado. And if not, you'll correct me. Thank you, Julie.
Yeah, hi, this is Julie EB, gratefully recovered compulsive over and under eater in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful for all of you. I just, I love this paragraph because, and I love its placement. Its placement is in the 12th step. This is not in the first step. As I'm trying to learn about my alcoholic foods, ingredients, and behaviors. This is in the 12th step as I'm learning how to work with others and encourage them and also to practice these principles, the principle of neutrality, the principle of checking my motives in all my affairs. And so I used to think by avoiding places like buffets and movie theaters, which were like sanctuaries for chocolate and popcorn for me, and by avoiding other things that I had to during my early period of hospitalization, like certain kinds of family occasions, certain kinds of stressful situations, certain kinds of work, combination food places, that I could change from the outside in, that I could just keep myself locked away from my disease. But the truth is, since my disease comes from the inside out, once I can take hold of this program and find a God who is more gracious than me, who is more gracious than other people in the world, who can often be unkind, or not, as the speaker previously said, are not there for what I need or what they can give to me. But they're in that world. People are in that this world for me to appreciate and learn from. And I can learn from anyone. Sometimes all I learn is how I don't want to be treated. And so here there's a freedom. And the freedom comes in the 12th step when I'm practicing. I still have to plan my food, but when I'm practicing what it looks like to check my motives, to make sure things are squared away, which I do by talking to other people, not just my higher power, but other people, getting into being safe anywhere, because I'm safe inside, where deep inside my higher power says, you belong to me, and you can trust me. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie EB in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Next, we're going to New York, Elaine G. Please join us.
Hey, hi, everybody. I'm Elaine G from New York. I haven't been here in a while, but I'm back, and I'm going to try and make this every day if I can. Anyway, being in places where I'm not supposed to be, well, you know, when I go on Saturday to the certain thing I go to on Saturday, I end up, if I'm not watching it, over to White Castle. That's a real no-no. And I think I'm going there just to get a drink. But no, I end up in trouble, you know. And afterwards, I should just go home because actually I start walking the boulevard and there's all these eating places. And it's not good. And, well, yeah, I guess one of the questions, I'm trying to think, also I'm trying to stay off caffeine, so it wouldn't be a good idea anyway having to do with the diet stuff. But not to go to places that I know I don't have a good motive. I mean, like, if I'm going to eat out with someone, I just check to see what's there and what I'm going to eat right ahead. And that's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. in New York. Next, we have Sylvia F. in Oregon. Thank you, Sylvia.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. And this is Sylvia F. in Portland, Oregon. I love this passage. Early on, it was, I would have to go to a wedding or some kind of occasion where my presence was required. And I would have to put the guardrails up. I had to make sure I had people to call. I had committed before. And It was exhausting to navigate it. But the promises of this program is that we will have neutrality, that we can be anywhere without having to be victim to our own disease. So what I have discovered over the years is that I can go anywhere if I am thinking of others. If I go and I feel any inclination to belly over to the food bar, my next step is to pay attention to the person who maybe is sitting alone at the party, or to get somebody something, or to really listen to the person who's talking to me instead of half listening and looking at what people are eating. So, and early on, I've been in the program for 20 years. I'm just back 6 months from a short relapse, thank you, God. And what I remember is people missing incredible rituals, like they wouldn't go to an important wedding or they wouldn't go somewhere because they were afraid of the food. And I hope that we don't have to be in that fear. If you're early on, there's so many things that we can do to put in place to protect ourselves. And once we've worked the steps and we have the neutrality, we're there to be present. We're there to be of service. We're there to be listening. We're not in self. So I guess, I think it's been said already this morning, if I'm not inside, if I'm outside, I'm good. I'm good to go. What can I bring to it? And that's literally what I ask my sponsees. What can you bring to the event? Not what you are going to get out of it. Because if I go in looking at what I'm going to take to it, what can I offer, I'm okay. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Sylvia. S for Sam. Sorry, I misheard you the first time from Oregon.
No,
welcome back.
No,
oh,
actually,
was that?
Sylvia F, as in Fox. F.
Oh, okay. So I did have it right. I just didn't hear
you. You had it right.
Thank you
yep.
so much. No problem.
Sure.
Next, we're going back to New York, and I have Barbara. And Barbara, if you could give us your last initial when you say good morning, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Hello, this is Barbara from New York. This paragraph reminds me of, I went on a cruise, I'm a big cruiser, about 4 years ago, and I was already in program, and I was thinking everything will be fine, and I took two of this, and then two of that, and then I went back and took another two. Two is usually my number for that certain piece of food, and I realized I'm still in the disease. I shouldn't have been at a buffet. The next day, I went to the dining room, ordered the two of that and the two of that, and it was fine. I do not feel that I need to or want to ever test it again with buffet. You know, it might be fine and it might not. It is too chancy. But I was surprised that I just jumped right into the pool. I'm laughing. It just reminded me of that. So I have this disease, and I very rarely run into buffets, so I'm fine. Thank you. I pass.
Barbara, what's your last initial, please?
Barbara S.
Thank you so much. All right, next I have Gayla in California. And Gayla, if you could also give us your last initial, please unmute and join us. Thank you.
Hello, this is Gayla. Thank you so much. I'm from California. I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for all of you that are here. I'm so grateful for the program. I am back on track. I'm in hospitalization. I'm not in hibernation. And yesterday was our 53rd anniversary, and so we had choices where we could go, and we had a choice just to stay home. So we made our choice, and it was a good choice, though in the past it wouldn't have been a good choice for me. My husband ordered what I love to order, and I ordered from the menu, the more healthy eating. They have a large menu of everything, and it's named after a dessert. So this restaurant. It's Gay Pride Month, and as we approached the area where this restaurant was, beautiful balloons, red, yellow, green, blue, lots of displays. The waiter was wonderful. The substitute waiter was wonderful. I enjoyed my husband's company. We just sat and talked, and I love neutrality. I just love it. There are times that we have, it's called linger longer after church, and I can really binge eating what they offer there. And so what I've discovered is if I don't need to go up to the table and look at and be there and stay there, and I just am there to socialize now. I socialize, I enjoy the socialization, and I can also look for someone. I used to, earlier on in program, I used to go to wedding receptions. I didn't even go to where the food was. It wasn't important to me. Yesterday at this restaurant, I did want to go and look at all the desserts, and it was a feast for the eyes. That's all I needed, and I was safe doing that. So I love this paragraph. I appreciate the shares we've already heard and look forward to more. And I pass. Thank you.
Gayla, what's your last initial, please?
S, like Samuel.
Thank you, and happy anniversary.
All right.
You're welcome. Next, we're going to Washington to Sherry H.M. Good morning, Sherry. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. This is Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, gratefully recovered from Washington State. I remember when I got into the program, it was about 11 years ago, and I got a sponsor, and she said, it was my birthday not too long later or something. Anyway, so we go out to dinner on family birthdays, and it comes with there's a 4 or 5 course meal or something like that. And one of them, of course, is dessert. And I was so, so worried about it because how could I have dessert? I was just freaking out over it and praying about it too. And, I got fruit. They gave me fresh fruit. And it just was how God can do more than we can ask or imagine, because I got mangoes and all these things that I love. And I used to live in Maui, and I love the mangoes there. And it was just such a blessing. But my sponsor, she, all these things with food, they're not about, the food. They're about the relationship. You're there, to be present and, to really bless other people and all this. And I did not like hearing that. Because for me, it was about the food a lot. I mean, I liked to see the people wherever I went, but I love the food. So thankfully, God has removed all that. And, I used to think, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I can't do this. So if you're sitting there thinking on the line, oh my gosh, I can't do that. Yeah, it is the gift of desperation that led me, to this beautiful journey of doing the steps and having a real spiritual awakening. And with the food sort, I had already had a good relationship with God, but, with my food, it was like, are you there, God? And, I wanted him to just take away the pounds and let me, keep binging. But by the grace of God, I don't miss it. And I never would have believed that could happen. But it's a miracle. So and doing the steps quickly so we don't have to sit in the, the dirty diaper of emotional buildup. So anyway, thanks so much. And I pass. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Sherry with a C, H-M from Washington. Next. Michelle C. from California. Thank you, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle C. from California. In the theme of where you go, what can you bring? I yesterday I received an update for my high school reunion, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't think I really want to go. I had a million reasons why it doesn't make sense for me to go. But one person is on my amends list. I'm doing my step nines right now. And I had a little bit of trouble finding her because I couldn't remember the exact spelling of her name. And it turns out, right, she's right on this list. So I reached out to her to do my step nine amends for apologizing or making amends for something cruel I said to her in high school. And she was so gracious to me. It was just unbelievable how kind and generous she was. And she was sharing that she's married to someone who's in the addiction field and is a counselor, and just was really, really kind and supportive and gracious. And I was just, anyways, the amends went far better than I ever expected. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh, I think I do want to go to my high school reunion. Like, it would be great to see her and give her a hug. And she was excited about the high school reunion. So it's really interesting how your resentments and your past, your resentments from the past, and for the resentment I had against myself for being insecure and saying something cruel. And thankfully, God is so good, and she was so gracious that my entire perspective has changed about this upcoming high school reunion. So just grateful for this program and everyone here. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle C. in California. All right, so before I take our next lineup of names, let me refresh your memory where we are in case you came in late. Age 101, so our rule is not to avoid a place through to like catching providence, but it isn't. So if this is your third day to share on any vision meetings, if you shared earlier this morning, please don't double dip. And I am now ready to hear from you. I need your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from this morning.
Laura.
Thank you so much.
L from Arkansas.
Thank you, Laura.
Susanna A. from Los Angeles.
Thank you, Susanna.
Larry G.
Larry G.
California.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
You. Anyone else? We probably have time for a couple more, maybe even three. Anyone? All right, well, we'll pause there so as not to waste time. Harry N. from California. Okay. All right, so I have Laura from Arkansas, Suzanne from California, Larry from California, and Kerry from California. So, Laura, if you'd like to star one, unmute, and join us, please go ahead.
Thank you so much. This is Laura L., gratefully recovered in Arkansas just for today. What I take from this reading, especially I'm coming off of a recent relapse. I only have a few days food sobriety again. And I think the biggest takeaway that I have from this reading is that it depends on my spiritual condition when I'm attending either some type of celebration, or if I'm going to a restaurant, or if I'm going to a particular store, or if I'm on a particular vacation. It really all depends on my spiritual condition that day. It depends on the communication between myself and the God of my understanding as to whether or not I can go to a particular event or go into a particular establishment. It's really easy for me to make excuses. For example, I had a niece who recently graduated from college, and she needed a certain thing from a bakery. Am I spiritually fit to go to the bakery, to order that item, to be in that situation, to pick up that item and drive it to the location? So for me personally, it's about where I'm at. Am I spiritually fit? Am I in communication with God as I understand God? Am I in communication with my higher power? Where am I at on my particular journey? Because when I'm triggered, when I'm newly, you know, if I'm in relapse or about to relapse, or if there's a chance that that could happen to me, I really have to check my motives. And I loved hearing from so many people this morning talk about saying things like, when I'm not in myself, when I'm thinking about others, that's when I can participate fully in life. And that's the biggest thing for me. I'm so grateful to all of you this morning for sharing that. I have to get out of myself if I'm going to be able to go in with right motives into any situation. I have to be thinking about other people and not myself. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura L. in Arkansas. Next, we have Suzanne A. in Los Angeles, California. Go ahead, Suzanne, please.
Good morning. This is Susanna A. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. I am very excited to be here this morning. And I just got back from a big graduation culmination weekend. And I know a lot of the my compulsive overeating comes from, like, one of my behaviors is if people give me food, like, oh, that would take me out so many times. So I was a little nervous. My mother-in-law was there, and she shows her love by, you know, the way she prepares food and all of these things. And I was nervous, and I just wanted to share. It was just so positive, and I definitely felt protected, and things showed up. Like, I'd be like, I'm going to go for a walk, and I would go to basically the equivalent of Whole Foods, and I would get my own meals, and I would prepare them, and, you know, I also realized, man, I so easily fall into, like, herd mentality, like, with everybody sitting there doing things. It's like a gravitational pull, but I definitely was able to sort of step back and look at it, and it was probably one of the best family, you know, in-law type visits that I've had, and I was just very grateful to kind of go through that and see all the different options. Like, there's so many different options. I don't have to be so myopic and kind of focus on, like I'm hearing here, on just on the food, like focus on the experience. And I ran around taking tons of pictures so the parents of the graduates could just sort of enjoy the experience. And I focused on photographing everybody and then sending the pictures on to my relatives. So I just wanted to share and say I'm really grateful for everyone being here today. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Susanna A. in California. Next up, we have Larry G. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Susan. And my name is Larry G. I'm from California, and I just love this call and love you all and such great shares. This is such an important paragraph. And I asked myself a question, you know, where can I not go there's not food? I mean, you cannot go anywhere today where there's not food. And so I realized that if I've surrendered, my surrender is to the doctor's opinion. And if I've cleaned my side street off and I made my amends, it's really important. I made my amends. I can go anywhere in the world. As long as I take God with me. That's the key for me, is that my last defense is God. I can go anywhere if I take God with me. Because what is this all about? If all I'm going to do every day is be on this call, reach out to new people, work the steps, call my sponsor, and that's all I do. I mean, to me, once I become recovered and I have cleaned my side street off and I have surrendered, God wants me to go out there and live my life. I mean, go out there and see what your life is, what you accomplish, Larry. Go for it. Have an extraordinary life. Not hide because I'm afraid to go anywhere if there's food. And that's the way it used to be for me. I was in relapse, and I would call people and text people wherever I was going, and text people before I go in the store and text people before I leave the store. But I wasn't surrendered, and I wasn't taking God with me. This summer, my wife and I are going to travel, and we like food. We enjoy food. Both of us are compulsive eaters, and you know, we have a food revolution going on here in Northern California, and a lot of our cultures are experimenting. A lot of chefs experimenting with different cultures. Why not enjoy that food? You know, why not? If I had the right motive, if I surrender, my house is in order, I made my amends, I can go out and really have the time of my life. And as long as I'm I have the right motive as long as I'm bringing God with me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Larry, so much. Next, we have Carrie N. in California. Thank you, Carrie. Someone's unmuted, but I'm not sure if that's actually Carrie. Someone sounds like they're outside and unmuted. Can we fix that, please? Carrie, are you there? Unless you're trying to talk to us and we can't hear you.
Sorry for the delay there. Yes, my name is Carrie Ann, and I am from California. And I'm so grateful to be here with you all. And I am a compulsive overeater. And this reminds me of my experience when I first got abstinent. And I was asked to bring a sugary item to a birthday celebration. And I told my sponsor that that I was requested to do that and I would like to have a piece. And she laughed and she said that, you know, save me one too. And I could tell that she was kidding because she had explained to me that she had a condition that that set her apart from other people, and that when she experienced her alcoholic foods, she responded in a way that other people didn't respond. And I was new, so I was just, you know, following her direction, and it ended up I too had that allergy. And so I remember that as a very remarkable experience where I cut up this item and I passed it around the table, and I wiped off my fingers on a napkin, and I had never experienced that before, just passing on an item that, you know, was very important to me. And I will always remember that as an experience of a power greater than myself at work in my life. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Carrie Ann in California. All right, it looks like two more shares, possibly three, but I think two. So who's holding out on us this morning? Star one to unmute. Today's your third day, and you'd like to comment on this paragraph on page one. Tanya P. And where are you from, Tanya?
Michigan.
Thank you. Anyone else like to join Tanya?
Dana P.
Can you say that one more time?
Dana P.
Dana, thank you. All right. I've got Tanya P. and Dana P. And Tanya P. from Michigan, take it away, please. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Tanya P. from Michigan. I am recovered in, I think I'm recovered. Some days I am and some days I'm not. So anyways, which means I'm not. What this paragraph brought up for me is my bars are actually churches. And I actually alienated a group of people because I would not what they called lunch. And I didn't eat when we had those lunches, but they still expected me to participate in that. And it was dangerous for me. And I had the opportunity eventually to talk to them about my food as alcoholism. And as soon as I put it in those terms, they got it. And one of those church ladies called me this morning asking me if I'd like to come for coffee next week. And she asked me, are you still not eating? And I said, well, I'm eating. I'm just not eating all of those foods that look like alcohol for me. And she was like, okay, I won't bake anything. So I know that my story is one that people can understand if I put it in the right terms, and I just have to be willing to say no. So that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. in Michigan. Next, we have Dana P. Go ahead, Dana, please.
Thanks, Susanna. It's Dana P. I am in California. This paragraph, it's so amazing. You know, we share our experience, and everyone has a different experience. And I was, like, super scared of going places because of what was going to be there, what kind of food. And I would manipulate and try to sort of figure everything out so that I could get the right thing to eat. And it's pretty amazing because I'm going to a wedding, a cousin's wedding, coming up here in a couple of weeks. And I'm not super familiar with the young lady, but I am very, her mom is my cousin and we're quite close. And so I've been driving down to Southern California and going to this wedding. And it's so interesting because I didn't really think that much about what was going to be on the menu. And they asked, you know, you have a special thing. And I just put vegetarian and left it at that. And really it just comes to trusting. And that's what I said, you know, God, take care of this for me because I can't go manipulating everything and saying I don't eat this and I don't eat that. Amazing thing is my other cousin's daughter lives up in Oregon, and he reached out to me asking me if I would be her, I guess it would be kind of a chaperone because she's quite shy and she's a young lady, and he won't be available after the wedding. He has to fly out. And if I had decided to be in fear and not go to that wedding because of being uncomfortable around food and or even being uncomfortable around people that I don't know, I would never have had that opportunity to be of service to this lovely young woman whom I met last summer when I was traveling in Oregon. So I'm just really grateful for, it's really trust, you know, it's saying yes to life and saying, God, you know, I trust that you're going to take care of things. And bam, there it is. He's saying here where you can be of service to this, your cousin and this young lady. So thank you so much for letting me share. And again, I'm Dana P. in California. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you so much. And if you didn't get to share today, please come back tomorrow. Wonderful meeting. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book. Oh, and thank you, Team Wednesday. Thank you to Shelley, Leslie, Julie EB, Alex K, and Robin P. Please stay on with them if you need a sponsor, if you are an available sponsor. Thank you, Julie, for reading the steps this morning for us, and Traditions with Kathleen C. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Leslie M., would you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you so much.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.